want to take just a little bit of time today to just talk about, so we talked to the kids about being the light of the world as they go back to school, and we want to talk to our parents and guardians this morning, kind of a charge to you guys as we go back. And this is something kind of new for me. You know, my kids are in first and second grade, so I feel like we're just kind of getting in the swing of school life, right, in our world. And I always like to take a time, even personally, before I send my kids off to school, to reorient even our household, right? Like, okay, what's our schedule going to be? What's bedtime going to be? But also spiritually, what is this year going to look like for our family, right? It feels like a new beginning. Do you feel that too? As school starts, and I remember being a kid and like going school shopping. Wasn't that just like the funnest thing? You get like pencils and erasers. I still like that. Like, I'm like, I want erasers. You know, I don't even use pencils anymore. But anyway, there's just a newness about it that I think that we can latch onto today and kind of commit ourselves to God for.
Am I off? There we go. All right. So today we're going to be reading a passage. And this passage really, it comes on the heels of the Ten Commandments, when the Ten Commandments were given to Moses for the people. And so when we read this, that's kind of the context that we're coming from. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So what this passage is really talking about here is the importance that parents have in instilling the laws that were given to their kids. So those Ten Commandments, right? And this greatest commandment here, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. He's saying you have to impress them upon your children. So this morning, what we want to do is we want to give three charges to us as parents, and maybe even grandparents or any influence that you have over children, right? Whether you're a volunteer in the kids ministry or a youth leader, whatever it is. Right, there's three charges here that we as adults are given to the children around us. Okay, the first charge is that we have to model Christ for our children. Model Christ for your children. And the thing about this is that no one else can do this for you. No one can do it like you can. Mm-hmm. See, it says, impress them on your children. The kids volunteers, and even our kids ministry, as great as that ministry is, that's not enough, guys. It's not enough just to send them to church on Sundays and hope that they get it. It's not enough to send them to a good school or even a Christian school. I grew up in a Christian school. I went from third grade to graduating that school. Then I went to a Bible college, and I'll tell you, that's not what instilled these things in me. It was the examples of people that I respected around me that I saw. And I'll tell you, no other source can do that like a parent can. And so the way that they see you model the Ten Commandments, love the Lord your God, right, above all other gods, like do your kids see you maybe stealing? Do they hear about you coveting maybe other things and saying like, oh, my life is a wreck, I wish I had this or I wish I had that? If they're hearing those things, if they're hearing lies maybe told, if they're hearing even malice at times in your homes, do you understand that's detrimental to this whole desire that God has for us to impress upon those things to our children, right? Yeah. Do we get that? Do we understand there's a huge weight to this, guys? I know we just came off of a really cute time with the kids, but we have to say this, especially on a Sunday like this when our kids are going off to school and they're going to be surrounded by other influences rather than us the majority of the days, right? So it's so important that we understand the charge that it's on us. No one else can model Christ for your kids like you can.
Yeah, this verse gives us a great way to do that. It says talk about them, talking about the commandments of God. Talk about what Jesus is doing in your life. When you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Basically what he says is just create an atmosphere where you don't forget what God has done in your life, right? Create that atmosphere. Number one, don't you think we need that as adults, right? I need to remember what God has done in my life. But when I am active about modeling that for my kids and talking about that, when I lie down, when I get up, when I, you know, walk around the way, you know, this is silly, but it says, you know, write it on your door frame. I'm like, yeah, you know, there's cute little signs you can buy, you know, to put the promises of God on the wall. Let it be an environment that they get to see this is what Christ is. You know, with this too, I was thinking as Cody was talking, you know, when that, you know, we know, like I'm the example, right? I have to model Christ for my kid, but that is quite a big task. It's kind of daunting, you know. And one thing I've learned in parenting is that I'm learning too. Right? Like sometimes I feel like, okay, I got to play catch up today and figure out what am I doing as a mom or as, you know, a woman in our house. But one thing I just felt like I should say is that sometimes we're going to mess up, right? There's going to be times where we step out of line or we say things we shouldn't or we don't model correctly. And I have learned so far in my little amount of parenting that coming back to my kids and saying, hey, Mama messed up here. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have done that. This is not how it should go. This is what God has. Will you forgive me? Like, that teaches our kids. Can you imagine? Like, I know my parents were just trying to, like, get through it, right? But I never remember, and I'm not saying it's a fault on them, but I don't remember them coming back until I was older, right? When they're older, and they're like, gosh, I'm so sorry for all those things back then. But as they're growing up, even to say, you know, I'm learning too. We're learning as a family about who Jesus is and what he can do for our lives. And so model Christ for your children. You know, I picture sending our babies off to, you know, be in the hands of other people all day. Who knows what they're going to experience? Who knows what kids are going to say what or if it's going to be good or bad for them? But when they come home, right, they know this is the consistent place where they can see Jesus, they can experience him. So that's our first charge. Our second one here is pray with and for your children. Pray with and for your children. And I know that sometimes praying out loud is an intimidating thing, right? It can be kind of weird. But I'll tell you what, your kids don't care. Okay, they don't care about your fancy language. So if prayer is not a habit that you have with your children, I want to encourage you, be brave, take the plunge, pray with your kids. You know, I love, I always think of Greg, because before Greg knew Christ, Macy went to a Christian school, and she would come home and make Greg pray. I remember you specifically saying that. And he was like, okay. You know, even Greg, who didn't believe yet in Jesus, would pray with his kids. So if he can do that, you could do that, right? And now he prays intentionally with his children, I'm sure. So also, I want to say prayer is the most powerful tool we have, right? So when my kids are gone all day and I'm not there, that's kind of the hard thing with littles. I'm not there. I don't know what they're facing. I don't know what they're going through. But honestly, we fight our battles on our knees for our kids, right? That's what we do. We pray for them. We support them in prayer. So not only with them, but we also pray for them. Things you can pray for your kids, and there's notes if you want to write it down, but you can pray for their protection. Okay, I think that's the number one thing I pray for, right? Pray for their protection. And of course, as parents, we want our kids to be safe, emotionally safe, spiritually safe, physically safe, but also pray for their influence. Pray that they would have influence over the kids around them. So if you're modeling Christ, right, for your children, pray that that influence goes down from your kids out into the world around them, okay? So pray for their influence. You never know if their teacher knows the Lord, right? We don't know if those, I guarantee you, students in that classroom are in families that don't know Jesus, that need to hear an ounce of truth. Pray that your kids would have influence. And then also pray for their wisdom. Even at 5, you know, 6 years old, we can pray for the wisdom of our kids, right? That they can know what decisions to make, what choices to make, even in kindergarten or the smaller grades.
Yeah, and pray for their classmates. If you can, get a list from the school and go by name through, because you don't know where those kids are coming from, right? You don't know the hurt that they've experienced. You don't know the type of home life that they have. And so those kids that, some of those kids that might cause the ruckus in the class, or some of the kids that you might think, man, that kid did this to my kid again. If you're not praying for that kid, then you have no excuse to complain, right? We have to be on our knees for the influences around our children. It's so important, because that's the only prayer that some of those kids might ever get. That's the only prayer that some of them might ever get in their lives, is what you pray for them. So imagine the difference that could be made if you pray consistently for every child by name in that class. Pray for their teachers as well. By name. Every teacher, pray for the principal, pray for the staff. If you can get a list, again, go through. You know, our general superintendent of the Wesleyan Church, right? He prays for this church by name every day. And what he does is he has a list of all of the churches, right? And he'll pray just that name of the church, or maybe the name, our names as the pastors, right? He'll pray, and if God prompts him to, he'll stop over certain names, and he'll pray for individuals more at length. And so imagine if you start doing that for the staff of this school and the kids at this school, especially those in your child's classes, right? Imagine, like, as you're praying through, if you're prompted to pray, then you know, wow, I'm so glad that I prayed today, because who knows what was thwarted, or who knows what influence was for positive, right? What love that experience that child was able to experience because of that prayer, of what God was able to do. You know, another thing to pray for is to pray for their future friends, pray for their future spouses. That's a crazy thing for me to think about, right? I already pray for my girls' spouses, right? And I'm going to tell you, I know my wife's parents, and they are amazingly godly people, and they have been, and they've raised their kids to be that as well. They've raised them really well in the church and prayed fervently over them, but I am a product of their prayers for Jessica. That's a crazy thing to me, because there's a lot of weight on that. It's like, you know, like, I am the one that God has provided for, you know, to answer those prayers. Like, who am I? Okay, well, I better take this seriously, right? But it's so important to realize that I know for a fact that Jessica and I's getting together was because prayer happened, you know? And that was something that her parents did, and that's something that you can do as well. Begin praying, no matter what stage your kids are at, right? Begin praying for those future spouses. Begin praying for their spouse's parents, right? Begin praying that they begin to have influences that are positive and that will push them towards God as well, right? So when you pray, know that there is so much power in what we can do for the future of our children, right? Their friends, their classmates, their teachers, even their spouses.
Yeah, I'll say too, just as a practice, something we do, you might want to pick it up, is when we go to bed at night, we say our prayers together with the girls, and I'll ask them, who do you want to pray for in your class? What is it? What is one student you want to pray for? And sometimes they might not know, and I'll say, well, who was sick today, or who had a hard day, or who's someone that, you know, you want to lift up, and they'll always name a friend or a student as well. And sometimes we'll pray for their teacher as well together. So it gets your kids on board as well, praying for their class. So the last charge we have here is be a refuge for your children. Be a refuge for your children. And when we're thinking about this, you know, we kind of got the vision of, and this might seem extreme to you, but sending off our kids to battle every day, right? Like, we model Christ in our home, and I know what they watch and what they listen to and who they play with, and I know everything about my children, right? When they go, when they come, like all this, like what's happening, and I, you know, make sure that I know meticulously what's happening in their lives. But when they walk out, I'm trusting God, right? Isn't that just such a trust? I feel Cody was like almost bawling in the car. Sorry to call you out. The other day, just talking about sending Cadence.
I was choked up, actually. There's a big difference. Almost bawling and choked up are a huge difference. Gosh.
There's a little lump. There's a big lump there. And Matt, I'll say this. I cried like three tears when we sent Haley, and then Matt was like just like woo-hoo-hoo, like sobbing. So I'll call him out too, all the men in my life. But, you know, there is this trust. Like, there's nothing like that first day of kindergarten. Like, for me, it was just like, oh, my gosh, here she goes. You know, she's been with me since the moment she was born, and here I have to now put her literally into the hands of God and expose her to the world, and who knows what these kids are going to teach her, what they're going to say. Who knows what she's, with Haley especially, right, my strong will, who knows what she's going to do, you know, to those. Hopefully, you know, the teacher is happy with her. You know, all these things go through our minds, right? And I'll tell you what. We have to trust God. We have to exercise trust as parents because we can't be there every second of the day, right? I can't do that. But what I can do is when my kid comes back from battle, from kindergarten, you know, that I can provide a refuge for her. And a refuge is a safe place, but it's also a place of encouragement. It's a place of correction. Right? You know, on my kids' paper every day, they color a circle, and that circle tells me what behavior level they were on that day. You know, and sometimes they come home, you know, marked down a few colors, yellow or, you know, whatever. And there's a place for correction in our home, but we take the time to go over the day together, talk about what happened today, what are some things that made you happy today, was there a point that made you sad today, what can we pray for today. And so when they come, we are the refuge. This says here, always pointing to God as the true refuge, right? That no matter if we've had a bad day, no matter if what you face, you can always come back into a loving home, right? Into the arms of God, where you're accepted, where you're safe, and where you're provided for.
Right. You know, and the other thing in being a refuge for our children, we're trying to teach our children, right? So who we see with rose-colored glasses, right? Like, and maybe other parents don't see them that way, right? But we're teaching these children that we love so much how to navigate this broken world that sometimes they contribute to, right? Maybe a lot of times they contribute to that, right? But we can't pretend that we're going to be able to protect them from all brokenness ourselves. And that's the scary part, right? That's where that fear comes in. That's for me too in this season right now. Like, that's the biggest, like, oh my goodness, like, my kid's just going to be out there and I can't do anything about it, right? Like, in those moments, you know, where she's just around these kids that I have no idea who they are, like, she's exposed to the brokenness of the world sometimes, right? And sometimes she's going to contribute to that. And so it's so important that within that we can help them learn about Jesus. We can help them learn that the only thing that can counteract this world's brokenness is the person of Jesus Christ, and how he can put all that back together in their lives first so that they can show those other kids how Jesus can help them in their brokenness too. Because you know what? Our kids are storytellers just as much as anybody. And my kids are a storyteller of how much we instill Christ into our family. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. And so the way that my child behaves, the way that my kid goes forward into this world is a direct reflection going back to how I have modeled Christ for them.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to go their own way. They're going to try their own things, right? They're going to figure it out and try to own their faith for themselves. And I know that they need to, and it's important. And they're going to stumble and fall along the way, and they're going to maybe bring some others with them, right? But it's our job to help them navigate and to understand that there's always a way back from that brokenness, right? Mm-hmm. So when the world tries, the other big thing for me, right, we talk a lot about lies here and how that they get planted sometimes in our kids and in us, and that kind of formulates who we are moving forward sometimes, that those lies get deep rooted in us, and that becomes our understanding of ourselves, that I am broken, I am unlovable, I am this, I am that, right? So often that's what happens in us, and it forms this false identity in us. And that's going to happen to our kids too in this time. And so as a refuge, when our kids come home from school, if they had a hard day, if maybe somebody told them something and they took it the wrong way, or maybe they told them something and they took it exactly the way it was meant, right? Like if they get called stupid or ugly or something like that, right? Then it's our job to be that refuge and to bring them back to the truth of how Jesus sees them. Not just how we see them, right? They hear from me all the time, I love you, I'm proud of you, you're beautiful. Those are my, that's my trifecta. I say that all the time. And after a while, I know it just begins to be like a broken record. But when Jesus is the one that can say those things to them, that's a whole nother ball game, right? And so as our, it's our job as our refuge, our being a refuge for them is to always point them into the true refuge of Jesus Christ. And he's the one that's going to, and the only one that can restore any brokenness that they encounter.
Right, we're going to have the worship team come forward, and just like every Sunday, we're going to worship God here at the end and respond to these charges as parents or guardians or people of influence over kiddos. And so I'm going to just give you guys a chance to respond to God. So the way we do this here is we ask you to bow your heads, and I'm just going to ask you some questions. And if you want to respond to God and kind of make this your charge as kids go back to school and as we start this new season, you can raise your hand. So the first question is, if you're hearing about the charge to model Christ for your children or the children that you have influence over, and you're realizing that you maybe have not been as intentional as you should about modeling him, and you want to take that up today as your charge to say, I'm going to model Christ and I'm going to be intentional about that in my family. Would you raise your hand? Awesome, guys. That's so good. If you're hearing, you know, about this prayer relationship and the power of prayer over your children, not just for them, but with them, and you're realizing, you know what, it's time. It's time that we start cultivating a relationship of prayer in our home with our kids, would you raise your hand? Awesome. That's great. That's great. And if you're hearing here, you know, when Cody said, you know, we can't pretend that we are able to protect our kids from brokenness, I have to tell you, that's hard for me to hear, right? Like, I want to control what they experience, what influences them. But if you're hearing that and you're realizing, I don't have control over that, but what I do have control over is the refuge when they come back home, that this is a consistent place where we point to Jesus, no matter, you know, the behavior color, no matter what they faced, no matter what we're going through in our lives, this is a refuge for my kids from the battlefield. If you want to implement that in your home, would you raise your hand? That is awesome. I'm so proud to be part of a community that loves their kids and not just loves them, but loves them well, the way that God has intended, that is humble enough to say, you know what, I can be better. I can model better. I can pray. I can do that. I'm just so amazed. I'm going to pray for us as we go into worship. God, thank you so much for these little miracles in our lives. God, thank you for trusting us with them. I just remember that first day going home with Haley from the hospital and thinking, do they know what they're doing letting me leave with this kid? Are they sure? God, you are so, so amazing. And we thank you for these babies, these kids, these children. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would put your anointing over each one here, Father, that as we've said, okay, we're going to model Christ for our kids. And as we do that, Father, I pray that anointing would spill out over from our families into our neighbors, into the other students that our kids go to school with, into their teachers' lives, God, into the school system here, Father, into Red Rock and beyond. Father, we pray for the influence of our children. God, would you give them influence? Father, would you protect them? Would you give them wisdom? Even those little ones going into kindergarten, God, may they somehow begin to hear your still small voice at this young age. God, I pray that you would help those that have said, okay, I'm going to pray with my kids. Give them courage. Father, I pray you'd give them words. Lord, I pray that you would remind them as they go to bed or whatever it is, when they pick them up from school, Lord, that you would just not let them get away with not praying with and for their kids. And Father, would you help us to be parents and guardians that create a refuge from this world, Lord, where our kids can come home, they can learn, they can grow, they can unwind, Father, in a safe place, they can vent, Father, they can learn to navigate this world. Help us, God, as we're also learning. Father, we love you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.